Wow, wasn't that an awesome song? Well, you guys can call me Grandpa. Everybody's been sending me texts saying, congratulations, old man. Congratulations, Grandpa. Let me tell you something. I told Julie last night, I don't look like Grandpa. Come on, Tracy, stop now. You know. No, I'm excited. I'm kind of weird. Yeah, I know. Several reasons. But there's two in particular. Number one, I've been so excited about being a grandparent. I mean, I've watched so many of you. I've heard the stories of how awesome it is. And so I've just anticipated this day. I've been so excited about it. And then secondly, some of you already know this, I love gray hair. I can't wait for gray hair. I've got a few little spots that, you know, show up in my beard, you know, every now and then. But man, I'm just so excited about that. I just think gray hair is the coolest. But anyway, I'm really excited, and I'm just pumped about being a grandfather. I don't know what they're going to call me yet. Julie's going to be Juju, and I don't know what they're going to call me. I don't know. I don't really care at this point. Just pumped up. Vanilla Ice. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Tracy. I like that. All right. Well, so I want to begin by sharing with you a study that was put out by Richard Weissman. He's a psychologist. And what he did was he had hundreds of people watch a little 30-second video of two basketball teams playing each other. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to count how many times the basketball is passed. And then after the 30-second video was over, this was the question he asked. How many of you saw the guy in the gorilla suit come out, beat his chest, and then go off of the basketball court? And there was a very, very small percentage who actually saw it. In fact, some of them didn't believe it, and so he had to re-show the 30-second video to prove that there was actually a guy in a gorilla suit that came out and beat his chest and went out of the video. And this is what he concluded. This was the point that he made. He says, the reason we miss something so significant is because we get distracted. You see, that's what distractions do. Distractions keep us from being focused on what really, really matters. Let me talk to you this morning. You guys have heard me say this before, but I really believe that the struggle for most Christians, especially right now, 2020, is not intentional wickedness, but rather being distracted by what really matters. I mean, we go home, we get on Facebook and Instagram, we watch the news, and there's all these things going on in the world, and we start zeroing in on a lot of this stuff that's going on around us, and we lose focus. We get distracted from what really, truly matters. And some of you may say, well, what is it? What is it that really matters? And what's really cool is the Bible answers that question for us. Do you realize that? I mean, we started this study 2 weeks ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is what Paul tells us in the first three verses. He says, what really matters is faith expressing itself in love. In other words, nothing matters more than love. In other words, there's no better use of you and me than to love others well. In fact, any use of you and me that is separated from love in our lives is a waste. And I didn't say that. Paul did. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. This is what he writes. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained what, church? Say it out loud. I would have gained nothing. Here's what Paul is saying. Nothing matters, nothing counts without love. Paul says you may be one of the greatest speakers in the world. In fact, you may be able to speak in every language. But if you do it without love, he says, it doesn't really matter. He says you may be highly intelligent, a theological genius, possessing great spiritual knowledge. But if you know without love, he says, guess what? It doesn't really matter. He says, you may have faith to literally move unmovable things. But he says, if you move it without love, he says, it doesn't matter. He says, you may be known for, you know, giving great amounts of money to charities. But if you have any other motive than love, he says, it doesn't matter. He says, you can even take your body and burn it as a sacrifice. He says, but if it's not done in love, it doesn't matter. In other words, what we say, what we know, what we believe, what we give, what we do only matters if it is motivated by love. You say, well, that's kind of crazy. I mean, surely it matters to the people that we're helping. Well, yeah, but here's the deal. From heaven's perspective, it doesn't matter. I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago. Here's how heaven does math. Anything minus love equals what, church? Say it out loud. Equals nothing. If we live an unloving life, we have lived a wasted life. That's why Paul goes on to say in the very next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, he says, let love be your what? Your highest goal. Now download that this morning. I mean, really, really soak that in. Let love be your highest goal. And you know what? Paul got that from Jesus, didn't he? One occasion, there was this guy who comes up to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, he says, there's so much to know. I mean, there's so many rules and there's so many commands. And I know we've got several new Christians in here. How many of you have ever felt like that? Man, there's just so much to know. And so that's what he's saying to Jesus. There's just so much to know. What is the greatest, though, of all the commands? And here's what I want you to notice. Jesus doesn't say, oh, they're all the same, does he? Look at what he says, Mark 12, verses 38, or 28 through 34, rather. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only God, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important, which is what? Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. No other command is what? Say it out loud, church. Greater than these. A religious teacher of the law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other, and I know it's important to love Him with all myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Let me tell you something. When he said that, let me tell you, in a crowd during this day and time, there would have been some murmurs. There would have probably been some people pick up some stones. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are what?" Say it out loud, church. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Because he got it, because he understood that what matters most is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what matters most. And here's the deal, not just in principle, but in practice. In other words, we can't just talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk. Right? I mean, you hear people say all the time, "I love you." But here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. He says, don't pretend to do what? To love others. He says, really love them. In other words, we don't just practice this in principle. We've got to practice this. We've got to walk the walk. We've got to live this out in our lives. It reminds me of the guy who was constantly telling his wife, "Honey, I love you so much. I would die for you." And one day she finally looked at him and said, "You know, you say that all the time, but you never do it." And you see, that's the thing with love. Love that matters is a verb. It's demonstrated. And love as a verb is easiest to see when it is, you ready for this? When it's hardest to do. In other words, a love that matters most is a love that loves when it's difficult. Heard about a guy who was in an airport, and because of the weather, they shut down all the flights, canceled all the flights, and so everybody immediately began to line up with the ticket agent to try and reschedule flights. And I mean, this guy was just absolutely outraged. He was furious. He was angry. And so, man, he goes up to the lady, the travel agent, or the ticket lady at the airport to try and reschedule. And I mean, he is just so angry, and he is just spewing anger out on her, and she has nothing to do with it. She's just trying to help him, right? To reschedule his flight. She can't control the weather, but I mean, he's just so angry with her, and she just is so kind and so patient. And she doesn't get upset, and she helps the guy. And finally, after she reschedules his flight, he walks away, and there was a guy behind him, and he steps up, and he says, "Man, I just witnessed everything that just happened." He says, "I'm blown away. That guy was so ugly to you, and you were so kind and patient." He says, "How did you do it? What is your secret?" And she smiled, and she said, "It's very simple." She said, "I scheduled his flight for New York, and then I sent his bags to Mexico City." You see, I think if I asked, how are we doing on love, what we would probably say, most of us, is we're doing good. Because here's the thing, we're often tempted to give ourselves too much credit for a kind of love that doesn't take too much effort. In other words, oftentimes for us, love is an investment, right? I love you because you're so lovely. I love you because you encourage me. I love you because you lift me up. I love you because in some way you reward me. In other words, I love you some because I love me most. I've got an investment here. Jesus said that kind of love doesn't count very much. In fact, Jesus put it like this in verses 32 through 34 of Luke 6. He says, "If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that?" Even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. In other words, Jesus says there's a kind of love out there that even the worst of people is capable of. I mean, they may not know God. They may not have the Holy Spirit in their life. But they love with the kind of love that gets them something in return. And Jesus says that doesn't count. Because that's not really loving, that's bargaining. That's, I'll love you if. I'll love you if you're kind to me. I'll love you if you're pretty. I'll love you if you're successful. I'll love you if you do what I tell you to do. I'll love you if you think exactly like me. I call that Christmas card love. I don't know how many of you mail out Christmas cards. Julie and I used to do that. We had this list of people, and we take a picture of our family, and it had Merry Christmas and all that stuff, and we would send it out. And some of you, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You send out that Christmas card, and the person is supposed to send you one back, right? That's what we think. And if you don't send me a Christmas card back, guess what? Next year, I'm marking you off my list. And see, sometimes that's how we're tempted to love. And God doesn't love like that. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us sacrificially. In fact, it costs God to love whether we respond or not. Jesus says love that matters is based on the return, isn't based on the return that you get on the investment. And that's the way God loves. In fact, what I want you to do is I want you to really think about right now the enormity of God's love, okay? And I'm going to share something with you that didn't originate with me. I have taken it and I've tweaked it a little bit to really, I feel like, suit our day and time. But here's a list of some of the people that God loves from A to Z. Okay, A, God loves ambulance drivers, accordion players, airline pilots, artists, astronauts, the Amish, Anglicans, astrologers, adulterers, atheists, and addicts. B, God loves babies, Bible readers, Baptists, boy bands, blondes and brunettes, and old women with blue hair. He loves the bullied and the bully. He loves brave people, bossy people, and burned out people. C, God loves congressmen, crooks, cheaters, conservatives, and crystal meth junkies. D, God loves Donald Trump. He loves dads, deadheads, deadbeats, drag racers, drag queens, and Democrats. E, God loves evolutionists. F, God loves the faithful, the faithless, the fearful, the fearless. G, God loves good people and grateful people and generous people and greedy people. He loves glamorous and gullible people. He loves grouchy and goofy people. H, God loves homosexuals. I, He loves introverted people, intense people. He even loves IRS auditors. J, He loves Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, and Joe Biden. K, He loves Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Kendall, and Kylie. L, God loves late night talk show hosts. He loves librarians, lawyers, and liberals. M, God loves ministers, missionaries, Methodists. He loves people who are malicious, mischievous, and mysterious. He loves Madonna and Miley Cyrus. N, God loves Nancy Pelosi and Nick Saban. Of course He does. Roll Tide. Oh, God loves orthodontists, obstetricians, He loves preachers, pimps, pill poppers, pedophiles, and the police who arrest them. Q, God loves the Queen of England, the members of the band Queen and Queen Latifah. R, God loves the people of Russia, real estate agents, Republicans, and even racists. S, God loves smokers, strippers, and serial killers. T, God loves those who think wearing a mask is important and those who don't think that wearing a mask is important. God loves telemarketers and televangelists. You, God loves people from United Kingdom and the United States. He loves umpires and used car salesmen. V, God loves vegetarians, vanilla ice, Tracy, and people who love vanilla ice cream. W, He loves waitresses from Waffle House, precious, and even the person who weighs you at Weight Watchers. X, God loves x-ray technicians, those who play the xylophone, and Y, God loves you, Y-O-U. God loves tall you and short you, old you, and young you. He loves popular you and outcast you. He loves happy you and sad you. God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And Z, lastly, God loves Zoe and those who are preparing for a zombie apocalypse. This is the heart of the matter. This is the core, the foundation of Christianity. I've had people throughout over 20 years of ministry who have come up to me and they've told me about ministers who all they do is preach on love. And they talk about how because they teach on love, they're watering down the gospel and they're just preaching a bunch of fluff. And I sit there and I listen to that. And I want to speak into that this morning because let me tell you something. As you get into the Word of God, do you realize this is more than just a bunch of rules? This is a love letter from God to you and me. The Bible is all about love. And God Himself even says, you want to know what the greatest commandment is? Love. Love me. Love other people. And as we go through this list, some of you may be thinking, there are some people on that list, Lake, that I cannot love. And Jesus says, until we get this right, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And I mean, we get into the Word, and Jesus says, the greatest command. And Paul's like, look, let me reemphasize what Jesus is saying here. Romans 13, 8 through 10. He says, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. He says these and other such commandments are summed up in this one command. I mean, people will say, listen, we need to get into the Word and we need to do what's right and we need more lessons on sin. And what he's telling us, listen, we'll get all that figured out if we will just love people. Everything else, all the other commandments are based on this one command, love others and love God. But how many of us would be honest enough to say this morning, this is where I struggle? And I think if you don't admit that this morning, I don't think you're being honest with yourself. And so to these preachers who do a lot of preaching on love and teaching on love, you know what? I need to join them. Because this is the heart of Christianity. And I'm going to tell you, and you can take this to the bank, this is why our world is in chaos right now. And it's not just the outside world, people. It's within Christianity. And one of the reasons why is we haven't got this right yet. And one of the reasons why is we get so distracted by the little things that we forget about what God says is most important and what really matters. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Paul says three things will last forever: faith, love, and hope. And he says the greatest of those is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, John puts it like this: anyone who does not love, are you ready for this, does not even know God. Because you know what our God is? God is love. My son-in-law, Luke, yesterday, he says, late, he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, well, it's one of those lessons that, you know, when you preach it, you better have your bags packed because you're going to really anger somebody and they're going to send you emails and go to the elders and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, good night, what are you talking on? And I said, I'm talking on love. He says, well, how's that going to offend anyone? Because it's hard. Heart. And he says, this is what's most important. There may be some things that, you know what, we need to stop doing. Or we need to start doing because of our love for God. But here's what I want you to understand about our God. God doesn't love us because of who we are, but because of who He is. His love is not based on our nature, it's based on His nature. It's not based on our merit, but His character. I mean, so oftentimes when we think about love, and I think the way that people oftentimes view love is something so easy. I think that's why so oftentimes it's referred to as fluff. It's easy. I mean, it's easy to believe that God loves you, and it's easy to love other people. And truthfully, to both of those, it's not. I mean, how many of us have been tempted to think, you know, God would just love me more if I didn't drink as much. And God would just love me more if I'd have saved my first marriage. And God would just love me more if I'd have been a better parent. Or God would have just loved me more if I just knew more about the Bible. And the truth of the matter is, God does not love you any more than He does right now. You can't start something or stop something that's going to make Him love you more. Because God's love is not based on our nature, it's based on His nature. And this is hard for us because it's so different from what we see in the world, isn't it? I mean, the world loves and... this is unfortunate, but the world loves because of some worth that we have. But it's God's love that gives us our worth. And we can always count on His love. And the world needs us to show that kind of love. Jesus says there is a love out there that will change the world. There's a love out here that will absolutely, I mean, just make a huge difference in the world. And it is not a love that reacts. Well, this person said this to me, and this person did this to me, or this person didn't do this for me. But rather, it is a love that reflects His love. Now, let me tell you something, guys. When we get this right, and we love others like God loves us, oh man, It makes the Father look good. Because God is love. Please don't go out of here today saying, well, Slate said that God accepts sin. No, I didn't say that. What I'm telling you is God loves sinners. And please don't walk out of here thinking to yourself, well, that excludes me. No, Romans 3:23 says that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And for that, we should praise God. And we should share that love with others. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son. And we talked about this just a few minutes ago. It's not just talking the talk, it's walking the walk. Jesus didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated His love by giving up His own life, that the world might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. And that's why we can't view love as an investment. See, I told you people were going to get upset. Just don't start throwing those crutches at me. Jesus put it like this in Luke chapter 6, 35 through 36. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is what, church? Said out loud. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. In other words, love that matters doesn't come with qualifiers. And it's actually liberating. Freeing, because we don't have to look around and go, man, should I love them? Should I not love them? No, we're to love everybody. Doesn't matter who that is. And so a love that matters, a true love, a biblical love, is a love that's non-discriminatory. It's based on who, not based on who the person is, but based on who God is. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, I don't do anything bad to anybody. And I don't put anybody down in any way. And that's good. But notice, Jesus didn't say not to do bad to people, but rather He says do good to people. Even do good to your enemies. Do good to those who curse you. Henry Heimlich, I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy before. Back in 1974, this is the guy who actually came up with the Heimlich maneuver. Saved hundreds of thousands of people's lives. And here he is, he's demonstrating the procedure on the Johnny Carson show. For those of you who are old enough to remember Johnny Carson, I am. I'm a grandfather now, remember. So anyway, saved hundreds of thousands of lives. But what you may not know is in 2015, he is in a senior center. He's eating lunch with a lady. She gets choked on a piece of meat. He goes around, grabs her, performs the Heimlich maneuver, and he unlodges that piece of meat and she spits it out. He literally saves her life. You say, well, what's so spectacular about that? He had been teaching this since 1974, and this was the first time he ever performed his own maneuver. And I said all of that to say this. We can be really good about talking about what love should look like. But Jesus says a love that matters is a verb. I think oftentimes one of the things that holds us back is we're tempted to think, yeah, but if I do good to people who are hard to love, They're not going to appreciate it. It's going to be wasted. But think about this just for a moment, okay? And I want you to really think hard about this. Is it ever a waste to treat people like Jesus? Do you think it was a waste for Jesus to love Judas those 3 years? Do you think it was a waste the very night before Jesus was crucified for him to wash the feet of Judas? It's never a waste to love like God loves. You say, why? Very quickly, two things. Because you're offering that love to God when you love others. Remember what we said in week number one, love is a command. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you what? If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commands. And so as we keep that command, as we truly love others, we're showing love to God. But then also it's giving evidence of the Spirit of God being in control of our own lives, because what we're talking about here is not natural. To love people who aren't very lovely, that is not natural. That is supernatural. That takes the power of Almighty God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul put it like this. He says, for we know how dearly God loved us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with what? Say it out loud, church. With His love. You see, as God pours love into our hearts, His love is so big that it overflows onto others. And man, nothing matters more than this. I'll close out with this. The best use of you and me is to love those around us. Now here's the problem. I think we're tempted to sit here and go, amen, that's right. You nailed it. But then we're tempted to walk out of here and get distracted by the little things. We're tempted to go out of here and zero in on things that in the grand scheme of things doesn't really matter. And we forget what does. And Jesus says this is so big. John 13, verse 35, He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my what? You're my disciple. When you walk out of here and you make love your focus, I'm going to truly love people. People look at you and they know there's something different about you, that you belong to God. John put it like this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. He says, no one has ever seen God. He says, but if we love one another, God lives in us. In other words, no one's seen God, but if we love like God loves, they're going to see God in us. We can change the world. I think that's why God sent us here. It wasn't just to work and to one day be able to retire. He sent us here to make a difference in this world, to lead people to Him. And the greatest use of you and me, especially in leading people to Jesus, is showing them His love. Let's take the Lord's Supper.